I'll skip ahead to the fair share plan, which again,
yeah, what page number is that?
We're on page 39. And again, largely, it is to address the township settlement agreement with Fair Share Housing Center, which requires that the township adopt a plan within 90 days of the court's preliminary approval of the plan, which is dated April 3rd, 2018. And again, with everything that's entailed in the settlement agreement, it's imperative that we look at this now and hopefully are able to adopt it tonight or in the near future. Page 41 goes over the prior round and prospective round plan mechanisms. As you can see, the township has a prior round obligation, and that's from 1987 to 1999 of 335 units. That obligation is satisfied in full with prior cycle credits, with a regional contribution agreement with New Brunswick, several inclusionary and group home rentals, the 100% affordable Beaver Brook project, which the board just granted final site plan approval to. I believe they anticipate breaking ground, I think, in the summer of this year is what I'm told. As we talked about earlier, we'll be entertaining plans for the former municipal building site, hopefully within the next few weeks or months, and we'll be discussing the Marukian site tonight. The prospective round obligation is to some degree a product of the settlement agreement, but also the two prevailing housing need numbers that have been talked about in the state. One set was on the higher end, prepared by David Kinsey, who is the consultant of Fair Share Housing Center, and the other by the township's consultant, Econ Solutions, who was really the consultant to the municipal consortium of 200 or 300 different municipalities, of which the Clinton Township was one. And as the chart indicates, the township has a third-round obligation of 337 units. And again, this obligation is being satisfied in full with the Headley Farm Estate project, totaling 104 units and an affordable set-aside of approximately 26%. The Alton Place inclusionary development that was discussed, the LeCompte 100% affordable project, and the remainder of the Marukian site affordable units. So what follows is just a map which indicates the distribution of the units throughout the township. And I think the goal has been to generally locate them in areas where there is existing development and compatibility, and not to go into areas that have been historically undisturbed. And also, as most of the board is aware, that water and sewer infrastructure is critical. So having these sites located within areas that are already served or are adjacent to areas that are already served has been critical, and part of the justification for coming up with some of these sites so far.
Tom, quick question for
yes.
you. So I read this when you sent it out via email.
Okay.
And I'm now looking. I was trying to follow along on the computer and I couldn't. And I looked at this. The page numbers don't line up. What changed?
I oriented it so it could be printed for two-sided printing.
Ah, okay.
So I apologize for that.
So there's no actual content changes?
No content.
Okay.
Just the orientation to, in an effort to save paper.
Okay.
And make it a little less heavy. So the plan components on page 45 of the paper version is the rehabilitation component. And basically that is to address a snapshot of the township's existing housing stock and properties or homes that are deemed to be structurally deficient. And previously we had an obligation of 21 units, which is really just an estimation based on statistics. And the regulations allow you to go out and actually assess the real existing conditions on the ground. So Mike Wright, the construction official, was able to do or complete a structural condition survey in which he found that there were 10 units which were consistent with needing rehabilitation. And so the township must provide a minimum of $10,000 per unit, a third of which must be bonded for within 1 year of the substantive certification of this plan. And ultimately, the money will go toward, I believe it's intended to go toward a local program so that the township won't have to initiate its own. But the recipients of this funding will be income eligible and for similar types of structural deficiencies in their home, whether it be roof repair, siding repair, windows, or something of that nature. Again, we have prior cycle credits, which were credits given to COA, given by COA some time ago, and are noted in COA's second round, substantive certification of the township's second round plan. We go to the regional contribution agreement with New Brunswick, which the township conveyed a little over $2 million to the city of New Brunswick to complete 108 affordable housing units, which has been recorded, but we do need to collectively provide some information to the court to ensure that this actually was carried out at some point in time. And the regulations have changed where this is no longer an option, basically to shift your obligation onto other communities. You've got to provide for your fair share of affordable housing within the confines of the community at this point. Number four on page 46 is the CRC Longview Group Home, and this was a product of a subdivision approval granted by the Planning Board in 2009. That subdivision has not been developed, and therefore the group home, which was a condition of that development, has not been purchased. But it is our understanding that at some point in time, it is the intent of the developer and the township to pursue this or otherwise come up with those four units. The Village Green at Annandale on page 47 is a developed and occupied site that's it's a mixed-use development, and there are three affordable housing units in that development. And from my understanding, it's certainly an aesthetic improvement to the area. It's right next to the train station, and in general, it's been a benefit to that area of the community. Page 48 is the Muse site, which is another developed site. Is not as highly regarded, but nonetheless provides some level of affordable housing, 35 senior restricted units, and the site has been developed and is occupied at this point in time. Page 49 is the 142 and 144 West Main Street gut rehabilitation. This property received some funding at some point in time to basically rehab the project for affordable housing or income-eligible households, and there is a 30-year deed restriction, which looks like it's expiring around 2025, which is the end of the third round. Again, the third round being from 1999 to 2025. Moving on to page 50 is the Beaverbrook Homestead property, which has been before the board recently. The board granted final site plan approval. I mentioned a little while ago that they're anticipating breaking ground, hopefully this summer. And this is, again, strictly a 100% affordable project consisting of a hybrid of sort of townhouses and mixed-use development, and really sort of served as the model for what could be accommodated with regard to 100% affordable projects, of which there are two additional ones in this plan. We thought they did a good job design-wise in both the layout and the architecture, and thought we'd carry at least some of that into the projects moving forward and have used this as a basis in terms of density and those various design criteria. Page 52 is the former municipal building. This is, I think this is an exciting project. It's a building that has become dilapidated over time for lack of sort of finding a use, and we've worked with the State Historic Preservation Office to determine exactly what part of the building was deemed to be historically significant and had to be preserved. Ultimately, we concluded collectively that sort of the only original portion of the building dating back to about 1890, 1896, somewhere thereabouts, had to be preserved. So a lot of the bulk, as you see it today, will be stripped down. And that original building, the first floor, is intended to support a commercial use, perhaps a restaurant, hasn't been determined at this point, with two apartments above. And there will be a multifamily building fronting Center Street with 10 units, one of which will be affordable. The affordable unit will likely be above the commercial use, but at this point, that remains to be seen. The southerly portion of the lot will be subdivided and become a community parking lot, which will be a major benefit to the area, as some homes don't have driveways or garages. There's a lack of on-street parking, and the church will also benefit with the various community activities that are held there. Page 55 is the Marukian site, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. It's a large 139-acre site. It was originally purchased with open space funding, though the township has always maintained the rights to develop approximately 6 acres of the site, which were, as I understand it, originally to be devoted toward affordable housing. At this point in time, we've finally gotten to the point of sort of needing the site and are intending to develop 100% and 100% affordable project with 84 units. Ultimately, the developer that will be selected has the opportunity to develop between 84 and 90 units. So we crafted the ordinance to allow for some flexibility, basically to cater towards that developer's pro forma and allowing the project to move forward and work from a numbers perspective. Similar to the Beaverbrook Homestead site, we anticipate community amenities in terms of passive open space, a tot lot, and similar types of improvements. We also require that the subdivision to be, or the developable portion of the site, will have a generous setback from Route 31, so that one, the residents of the development will have a substantial buffer from 31, and it'll also preserve the sort of pastoral look of the corridor, and that the buildings will be behind an established vegetated buffer with mature trees. So the idea is to tuck it back a bit, again, for the residents, but also to preserve the character of the corridor for the township, and also preserve the contiguous agricultural land. We'll talk more about the Marukian site in a little bit. The Headley Farm Estate is another large property. It's a privately owned 155-acre tract. Currently, what's in the plan is a 400-unit development with a substantial affordable housing set-aside of 104 units, which is 26% set-aside, which is one of the largest that I've seen. And I think one of the largest that's been discussed throughout this project, just because from a number standpoint, it gets harder and harder to make those sort of numbers work. You see in other areas of the state, people looking for 15% set-aside. The lower set-aside, the more market rate units that you have. So there is a benefit to having a large set-aside. It's fewer sites that have to be disturbed. It's a fewer number of units that have to be built in general in the township. And we are looking at various design alternatives to not disguise, but to buffer the development as best as possible, and it'll in all likelihood include some mix of townhouses and multifamily units at this point. And there is the nexus of being, again, adjacent to a developed portion of the community, being right by the train station, and so all this taken into consideration. And it also was the subject of a prior site plan approval or subdivision approval for 21 single-family homes, which there's no longer a market for. So that's sort of why we've transitioned to this model. We sort of needed the affordable units. They were looking for some development flexibility, and we were able to meet in the middle and come up with what's being planned for today. Page 60 is the Alton Place development, which in closed session we had just discussed. For the public's benefit, it entails a total of 140 units, some townhouses, some multifamily units. We anticipate the affordable component going into the multifamily component of the project. And the idea, again, here was that it would be sandwiched in between two similarly developed townhouse developments. And you can see on page 61 how those are laid out. And we're going to have something similar in terms of density, but I think we could do a little better in terms of allowing for some open space and some amenity features. And that is the intention. Page 62, we go to the LeCompte site. The LeCompte site is a 40-acre lot that fronts Route 31. The northerly portion of the lot is constrained, so the township is looking to develop.
Yes. Just go back to page 1661. Take a look.
60.
If you take 60 and plop it into that, and you can see what's on each side of it.
Yep. And again, the benefit is to not have that density occur elsewhere in the township where it may not fit as well. So, that's really the justification.
It's a similar density to what's up there.
It's consistent.
Right. Well, what is that green strip between the road and the blue border?
Say it again?
There's like the green grassy strip between
that the is. That is from the that's what raised the whole issue.
On the concept?
No.
Down here?
No. If you look at the actual satellite view.
That's the paper road that we talked about. So it's really not a road, and it's not going to be a road, is my understanding at this point. So it's it's an illusion at this point, I suppose. But so then skipping forward again.
They superimposed the tax map.
That's what we gather at this point. again, page 62 on the onto the LeComp site, what the township proposes and what a developer has proposed to us, rather, is developing the 10-acre portion of the site for 100% affordable project consisting of 89 units. And this project is similar in scale and intensity to scale and density to the other 100% projects. So you may have noticed there's a theme, sort of a range of density and features and design requirements that we've been considering throughout, because we really based them on the Beaverbrook project, thought they worked there, and used them to see what would fit in other locations in an effort to satisfy the township's affordable housing obligation. This is the third 100% project in the plan. The Marukian site takes priority in terms of the required HMFA 9% financing, which was discussed previously. We anticipate submitting the Marukian application in July of this year. Whether or not they get awarded, it may take a round or two. We're hoping it gets selected in the first round. Once it is, the LeComp site can then go in and an application can be submitted for that competitive HMFA 9% financing. They're also on the list to, or a priority rather, to get the required water and sewer capacity to make the project work. That is the final physical project that is a component of the township's fair share plan. There are a number of bonus credits that are discussed on page 65. You're allowed up to 25% of a particular obligation for both the prior round and prospective round for bonus credits. The way this allocation of bonus credits was derived was really based on the settlement agreement, and the benefit being that the actual number was significantly reduced, so it worked out in the end. Where we may not have reached that 25% cap, at the end of the day, we have fewer units that have to be developed. And so that is how this was arrived at. And then we get to sort of
the appendices.
The appendices, which is a considerable bulk.
Right, but we don't have to go through all the appendices unless the board has any questions about any particular ones, but I have a couple corrections to make to Appendix A3. So I don't know if you want to go there now. Does anyone have any questions about A1 or A2? A1 is just a copy of the settlement agreement, and A2 is a copy of Judge Miller's order approving the settlement. A3, the Fair Housing Act requires a municipality's housing element and fair share plan to consider any lands proposed by a developer. You don't have to include it in your compliance plan, but you have to consider it. So Tom and I talked, and we felt the best way to handle this was to put a section in the appendix that considered lands that some developers offered up. So the only comments I have, so if you turn to Appendix A3, the first project is the Beaverbrook Golf Club. The township was approached by a representative of American Golf, the operator of the Beaverbrook Golf Club, proposed to develop 40 acres of the site's total 140 acres with inclusionary townhouse development. The only reason I am talking here, instead of Tom, I want to get down to the part where I think has to be changed, and then we can ask Tom any questions about it. The bottom line is summarizing, the developer proposed taking out 11 of the course's 18 holes. So it says, the beginning of the second paragraph says, in addition, the development of the proposed 40 acres would have eliminated 11 of the golf course's 7 holes.
Yes, so that's a typo.
It should be 11 of the golf course's 18 holes.
That is a type.
Leaving seven holes.
I've never heard of this.
And this is important, though.
You haven't lived.
Okay. This is important because the proposed townhouse development would have been directly adjacent to a number of single-family homes. Concentration of the townhouse development was perceived as an encroachment on the established surrounding neighborhood. Ultimately, the 108 Alton Place site, which is in the township's plan, is a similar product, and location was selected as a better alternative. Right? Now, here's the next paragraph I think has to be rewritten. Right now it's written, the Beaverbrook Golf Club site was not available given to a number of title issues that had to be overcome. It was not developable given that it did not have access to available water and sewer capacity, and it was not suitable given to its adjacency to a single-family neighborhood. So this is technically incorrect. It's got to be changed. The Beaverbrook The issue is, so my office did a title search. The question that was asked of us, so we had a, there was a committee, which is public knowledge, formed to that evaluated every single site that either a developer proposed or that the township was interested in. And the subcommittee was made up of me as the affordable housing attorney, Tom as the planning expert, and Kathy Marcelli as the engineering expert. So we wanted to know if there was any deed restriction that required the 18-hole golf course to be left there, because it was our, let's say, understanding after talking with people in general that certain people bought their homes close to the golf course with the expectation that they were close to the golf course and, by the way, that it was going to be an 18-hole golf course. Our title search did not come up with any deed restrictions. The golf course, in fact, offered to cover that contingency, but the subcommittee's recommendation was, even if there's no legal impediment to this, does the township really want to approve the elimination of 11 of the 18 holes and have an outcry of some people who bought there with an expectation they were going to have a golf course? So with all that said, I think it should be reworded to state as follows. The Beaverbrook Golf Club site was deemed, and then cross out everything you have there, Tom. The Beaverbrook Golf Club site was deemed not suitable given its adjacency to a single-family neighborhood, period. There was also concern that the elimination and conversion of 11 holes of the 18-hole golf course to housing would upset the reasonable expectations of nearby homeowners, period.
Your numbers are incorrect.
It's backwards?
No, I think that here the development of the proposed 40 acres would have eliminated 7 of the course's 18 holes.
Okay, so it's 7 of the 18 instead of 11 of the 17. Tom, we have to find out whichever it is, it has to be correct factually.
Yeah. Is the specific number important, or can you just say several or many?
No, it's important. We have the specific proposal. It's just a question of looking at it.
Yeah, the holes over there, I'm a marshal there. It's holes 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 are the ones that would be eliminated.
Okay. I think that kind of establishes it. So it would have eliminated 7 of the 18 holes, leaving 11 holes. So, there was also concern that elimination and conversion of 11 holes, I had it right on the second page, of the 18-hole golf course to housing would upset the reasonable expectations of nearby homeowners, period. And then the rest is fine. The Route 31 and Halstead Street is fine. The Rundquist Tract is fine. The Rundquist Tract was the Clinton 94. Mm-hmm. And Tom attached, Beaverbrook never submitted an actual proposal, but Rundquist, Clinton 94, in fact, you know what, Tom?
Yes.
For Rundquist Tract, in parentheses, put Clinton 94. After Rundquist Tract, in parentheses, Clinton 94, just to make it clear.
Is that what?
And that plan is Clinton 94's plan. On the next page.
You say it in the first sentence. But
I understand.
Okay, all right.
Yep. Yeah. Do you have any other of the appendices that you think have to be particularly pointed out? Or do board members have any questions on any of the remaining appendices that they want to get any information on? You can take a look in the table of contents and see the appendices. They're on Roman numeral 2.
I'll just run through them really quick just for the board's information. So, moving on to A4 is the ordinance we're going to be discussing tonight for master plan consistency. A5 is the structural condition survey I mentioned, which was used to reduce the township's rehabilitation obligation. A6 is just an overview, or rather COA's approval of the regional contribution agreement with New Brunswick. A7 is the township.
By the way, the title of A6 is, it's not that it's the regional contribution agreement. It's COA's approval of the regional contribution agreement.
A7 is the township's second round substantive certification by COA. It's interesting for anybody who wants an overview of the township's prior affordable housing efforts. A8 is the township does have an affirmative marketing ordinance, so we're assessing to what extent that needs to be amended moving forward, and is a component of the compliance plan. The A9 spending plan is still something that we're working on. We don't have all the information yet. Basically, it provides an overview of what the township's collected and spent in its affordable housing trust fund and how it's going to spend future affordable housing money with regard to meeting its rehab obligation or other required expenditures. And A10 are just a few Highlands Council approval letters that discuss a few of the affordable housing efforts.
I take it that concludes your presentation.
Unless anyone has any questions.
Any questions from anyone on the committee? No? Anybody in the public? Any questions? Not seeing any.
Yeah, I would. It's a public hearing, so now I would open it up for any comments. Anyone?
Comments as well, if not questions, as part of the public hearing.
Let's close the public hearing.
I think we'll close the public hearing there. And
I have a proposed resolution. The board wants to adopt the housing element fair share plan. I'll read it quite short. Whereas upon notice duly provided pursuant to NJSA 40:55D-13, the Clinton Township Planning Board held a public hearing on a proposed 2018 third round housing plan element and fair share plan on May 7, 2018. And whereas upon the conclusion of the public hearing held on the proposed 2018 third round housing plan element and fair share plan on May 7, 2018, the board determined that the proposed 2018 third round housing plan element and fair share plan, one, is consistent with the goals and objectives of the township master plan. Two, will guide the use of lands in the municipality in a manner which protects public health and safety and promotes the general welfare in accordance with NJSA 40:55D-28. And three, is designed to achieve, and its adoption and implementation will achieve, access to affordable housing to meet present and prospective housing needs in accordance with NJSA 52:27D-310. Now, those three findings, those are findings required by the MLUL and the Fair Housing Act to adopt a housing element. You have to find that those three factors are present. Now, therefore, be it resolved by motion duly made and seconded on... Whoa, little typo.
I had printed another one out that didn't have the typo. I corrected it.
Kevin has the corrected one. Then.
There you go.
You don't have a typo on yours.
Yeah.
You have correct you.
There should have been two. With
I did. I gave them both.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I brought two.
Okay.
I'm reading along with this.
Okay. Thank you. I owe you. On May 7, 2018, that the board hereby adopts the 2018 third round housing plan element fair share plan, period. Someone want to make a motion to adopt that resolution?
So moved.
Someone want to second it?
Second.
Mr. Scheck, roll call.
Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Mr. Scheck?
Yes.
And Mr. Seme?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you, Tom.
And thank you.
And I know the board also, we did some work sessions on this, so we know what we're looking at here. It looks pretty good. Appreciate that.
Okay, so if you have those resolutions, Mr. Chairman, if you could sign them right now, that would be great.
Sign both of them. I'm going to have Denise sign both of them. I'm going to take one and she'll have one. And we'll each scan them and we'll get these over to the township committee via the clerk tomorrow.
And Tom, can you, just to make sure I have the latest and greatest, can you email me first thing tomorrow morning an electronic copy of the housing element fair share plan?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to make the changes first.
Yeah.
Good point.
I was just going to say the same thing.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, what's next on the agenda?
The master plan consistency review for ordinance number 1114-18.
Okay, so we have Tom here again. And so under the MLUL, as the board is aware, Section 26, 40:55D-26A says, prior to adoption of a development regulation, revision, or amendment thereto, the planning board shall make and transmit to the governing body, within 35 days after referral, a report including identification of any provisions in the proposed development regulations, revision, or amendment which are inconsistent with the master plan, and recommendation concerning those inconsistencies and any other matter as the board deems appropriate. So, the board has before it ordinance 1114-18, which is commonly known around Clinton Township as the proposed Marukian zoning ordinance. It's going to change the zoning of the Marukian site to allow the development, which is reflected in the housing element and fair share plan, which you just adopted. So the issue, the mandatory issue before you tonight is whether or not this ordinance is any provision of it inconsistent with the master plan. And as I said in the past, when you do this, you could actually, if it's appropriate, say that no, it's actually totally consistent. This one might be one of the few times where something is absolutely totally consistent since
you just adopted
you know, a revision. A lot of times you can say, yeah, it's not really covered, but it's not inconsistent.
Right.
So you have Tom here again. Now, this part, consistency review, you don't need him under oath. But if anyone has any questions about it, and if there are any changes that might have to be made to this ordinance after, so just this is public knowledge, but there's an RFQ to find a developer of the Marukian site, and that RFQ had a return date of last week, and 4 of 5 respondents who indicated interest in giving responses to the RFQ. 4 of them got their responses in, and I believe the mayor and council are meeting on Wednesday the 9th to select one of the one of the respondents as a developer. Is that correct?
That's correct. All council members received copies of the RFQ responses on Friday at the weekend and through today and tomorrow to review them, and we'll be voting on it, reviewing them and voting on it on Wednesday evening.
And just so this board knows, just like tonight is like affordable housing night for you, you had a bunch of things on the agenda. Affordable housing night for the township committee is Wednesday night, because not only do they have to select a developer, but ordinance number 1114-18, which was introduced at the meeting
last week,
they're waiting on this consistency review, and then this ordinance is scheduled to be adopted
Wednesday evening. With public hearing.
After a public hearing. Also, the housing element and fair share plan, which you just adopted, is scheduled on their agenda for endorsement by the mayor and council. So they're doing a lot of the similar or same things that you're doing, just following the proper process. So anyone have any questions about ordinance 1114-18, the so-called Marukian rezoning ordinance? Or does
anybody have any questions? Or
maybe we should just ask Tom. Tom, you have an opinion on its consistency with the newly adopted housing element and fair share plan?
It's very consistent, as John
is it totally consistent?
By coincidence, I would suggest that it's totally consistent with both the housing element and fair share plan, in that it anticipates almost exactly this development, but it also reflects the township's latest reexamination report of its master plan dating back to 2015, in which the plan acknowledges the Marukian site as an affordable housing site. Similarly, that it'll be developed with 6 acres and some component. At that time, the concept had not been refined to the point that it was 100% affordable, but it was understood that the site would remain in the township's affordable compliance plan, again, those 6 acres. And really what this ordinance does is create a new affordable zone to allow the density and the bulk that will facilitate the development of 84 to 90 affordable units. Gives an overview of surrounding land uses, the current zoning, which it's partially in the ROM1 zone and partially in the RR4S zone. The developable portion of the site has been identified at the southeast corner of the Marukian tract, lot 4.03, which is really in the ROM1 zone, which does allow for a number of uses, including ambulatory care facilities, nursing homes, assisted living residences, and residential health care facilities. So prior to the site being recognized for affordable housing, the township had decided that it would make sense to allow for limited types of residential development and some with similar types of scale and intensity as are being proposed. Again, those types of nursing homes, assisted living. Granted, this won't have that sort of limitation. It'll be for, you know, anyone that qualifies within that income bracket. And then it just gives an overview of the purpose of the zone, principal permitted uses, a highlight of some of the conditions. The ordinance really gives the most thorough overview of what is being contemplated and what the selected developer will have to adhere to. As you can see, the minimum tract area is 5 acres. Again, the minimum maximum density. It's arranged to give the developer flexibility. We need at least 84 units for the plan. We're allowing them to go up to 90, again, to not exceed the contemplated density for the zone. We're requiring a generous setback, 450 feet from Route 31, which basically creates a sort of a flag lot with a drive aisle from 31 going in either direction back to the developed area behind the existing vegetated buffer, contemplating up to three-story buildings. And, again, in general, we find that it is substantially consistent with both the housing plan, which you just adopted, and the reexamination report. So if you have any questions about the specific ordinance,
John,
and we try to...
If the council wanted to make any changes to this, they would not be able to then adopt
say,
it.
Say again?
If the council wanted to make changes to this, they would not be able to then adopt it tomorrow?
No, they can make non-substantial changes. The issue is whether a change would be a substantial change or an insubstantial change. And the safer way to go is, I mean, you can make recommendations for changes, mm-hmm. but my suggestion is going to be, because a developer is going to be selected on Wednesday night, that the next morning on Thursday, whoever's selected, Tom or I, we send this ordinance to them.
Sure.
And say, this ordinance was introduced by the council last week. It was found to be totally consistent, if that's your finding tonight. And, in fact, the governing body adopted it on Wednesday night as written. Do you see any problems or do you see any amendments that you would like? And then go through the if they do, then they should go through the process again. But then whoever selected could actually get started with a preliminary site plan application, even if some of these provisions created C variance situations for them. So my suggestion, which normally it wouldn't be like this, normally it would be, oh, if you have some suggestions, let's make them. This, because of the time constraints and affordable housing, my suggestion is, do the bare minimum that the MLUL requires, the consistency review. The recommendations are optional. Wait.
But they can fix typos, though.
Correct. Yep. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I have two of them. I verified
them. Well, put it that way. If you have, that doesn't even have to be a recommendation. Why don't you just right now, let's give Denise the typos. She can give them to the clerk.
All right. Yeah. On page 5. Under E.
Hold on. Page 5 under E.
Expressive blank walls.
Buildings with expansive blank wall are discouraged. Walls.
And then under I.
Under I.
The middle sentence there, the township's longstanding tradition. It's apostrophe S, not S apostrophe.
Yeah, that's true.
That's it.
Good eyes.
You get 50 cents.
Let me tell you something. Sue will fine hands.
For missing those.
What happened to you? He's taking over.
She's our normal. Oh, yeah, she's good.
Yeah. She was all over my minutes, though.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'm tired now.
Yeah, she, okay. You wore her out with those.
Thanks. She was working all day.
All right. So, anyone
does someone want to make a motion?
And maybe this will be a first, because we've always done the double negative. I kind of like the double negative, but because this one does fit so
that's
well.
That's something Jerry Seinfeld would say.
Sorry, I have one more typo
negative.
For you.
I like the double negative. It's not inconsistent. But I'll, you know, if
hang on, I got one more typo for you.
Oops.
Page 8.
Page what?
Page 8.
Hold on.
Okay.
Right in the middle, Section 5, Section 165-86 of the Township Code, you got quote.
Oh, yeah. See that. In front of zoning map, there's an extra set of
points. Oh, yes, there is.
And I'll make a motion to declare that this is totally consistent with the
that's nice.
The plan.
Wow, this is that's it.
That's a first.
Wow. Is there a second?
So moved.
I haven't seen a totally consistent in 32 years. This is not just a first here. This is a first.
So totally.
Totally consistent. Entirely consistent.
Okay.
Sure.
Sounds like a Valley Girl.
Yeah, totally.
Like totally.
Would you amend your motion to say entirely consistent?
Entirely consistent.
Yeah. Okay. So we got a motion. Is there a second?
We had.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Roll call.
Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Mr. Scheich?
Yes.
And Mr. Sommet?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay, so just for processing purposes wise, so Denise tomorrow is going to be sending two letters to the township clerk. One letter is going to advise that the housing element and fair share plan was adopted, and attached will be an electronic copy of it after Tom makes the corrections and sends it. And then the second letter is going to be a letter to the township clerk advising that the planning board completed a master plan consistency review of ordinance
1114-18.
That one. And found that the ordinance was entirely consistent with the master plan.
Uh-huh. So good. I think we don't need to do anything on that. That's just.
You're done.
Yep.
So at this point, we just have any reports worth discussing?
Yeah, I got a couple.
From council?
Yeah.
Okay.
On our last meeting, we only introduced the 2018 budget, and the public hearing is set for this coming Wednesday, the 23rd. That's going to be a very, very busy day.
Not this coming. You mean the next
this
Wednesday?
This coming Wednesday, day after, the 23rd, excuse me, the next meeting.
Yeah, okay.
Not this Wednesday.
Not
Wednesday
this,
after.
Right, okay.
We also introduced an ordinance amending the Uniform Construction Code fee schedule. What that basically did just brought our fees in line with ourselves and with other neighboring municipalities. We approved the bond ordinance for various capital improvements, and the bond ordinance for capital improvements includes the road plan for 2018. Many roads are listed in that ordinance, and also it looks like we'll be talking about and discussing and adding to that those roads that were listed on the website for 2018, which were not necessarily included in the ordinance. We've already talked about the ordinance for the Moroccan property, which has been presented to this body and approved, and is going back.
How much was the bond ordinance?
The bond ordinance is $1,383,000. It probably is going to be, with capital monies expended, a little bit higher than that. The amount going out for bond is
$1,370,000.
Mostly road projects. It's anticipated all the roads that are listed would be done unless there's some unusual event that takes place somewhere within the township requiring those funds to otherwise be utilized. So I think we've had a pretty good couple of years now of fixing roads, and it looks like we'll have a good year here, and a good year defined as getting a lot of roads done. in 2018, and we've already targeted some roads for 2019. Dublin Road is, as an example.
Thank you. Good. Ordinance Subcommittee, I don't believe there's any update. That's open space. That's typically John. Environmental Commission, I don't have anything. Is there anything else anyone has?
Nope.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed or abstained? All right. Good evening.
Give me a second.